Hey, this is Carlos with Don't Let the Smoke Out, the podcast for electricians by electricians. My name is Carlos. I'm a 15-year IBEW veteran. Also, I have with us Jesse, who's been in the trades, I want to say 8 years. We'll be bringing you all the stories from our experience in the trades. We're going to interview other people. We're going to give you reviews on boots, tools, tool belts, and let's tell some stories. So, on episode one, I'm going to talk about the first time I stepped foot on a job site as an electrical apprentice or material handler. So, I started out 15, almost 16 years ago. I was a material handler. I joined the union. I went and helped. The way I got into that was I went and helped my uncle, who was a non-union electrician. He needed help on his cleaning his rig out on a Saturday. I went and helped him. I was really unsure what I was going to do with my life. I was 18, just kind of fucking around. I went and helped him. And I liked it. To be honest, I always tell everybody, the one thing that trapped me in the trade was that you got a truck. You know, my uncle had a sick-ass truck. It was a F-250 crew cab with a tool bed. And it was sick. I loved it. I loved the fact that you went to work and they trusted you to get a truck. I don't know. Call me young, naive, whatever. It was just something that really spoke to me. So I went and helped him. I didn't end up going and working with him. I ended up finding the union side of it. It actually was an ex-girlfriend's father that was in the union that helped me find my way in the union. He told me what I needed to do. I went out and did it. At that point, I was still technically in high school. I had dropped out, didn't finish yet. I went back, I got all my credits, I did what I needed to do, and then I went and signed up for the union. I didn't know how long it was going to be. It was 2006, just turned 2007. The economy was still booming, but I think there was a nagging feeling everywhere, right? Nobody knew what was right around the corner, but it was about to get ugly. So I signed up with the union. I signed up with IBEW 441 at Orange County, California. I got a phone call. I'm working at Home Depot at this time, right? So I get this phone call, and I remember the gentleman. It was Richard. He worked at the hall. He was a friend of a friend, and he calls me and says, "Hey, they're putting a call out for a material handler tomorrow. Can you take it?" And I remember I'm working at Home Depot overnight, right? And I remember sitting there thinking, well, shit, can I come back? Can I take the call out Monday? I didn't know how this worked. I knew nothing about the union. I knew zero about the union. So I go, can I do it Monday? No, no, no. He goes, if you don't do it tomorrow, somebody else is going to take it. And I was like, well, fuck. Okay. So I took it. So I mean, I'm young still. So I tell my mom, I said, "Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm joining the union tomorrow. I need you to call Home Depot and tell them I'm sick. I can't come to work." So she calls them, tells them I'm sick. I can't come to work. So I don't go in. Luckily, I was working like Monday through Thursday at night doing inventory. So she calls in for me. You know, I'm still a kid. You know, I'm 18 years old and living with mom. So she calls in for me. I take the call out the next day, and I'm getting called out to Unison Electric. So I go show up to the shop. Actually, you don't show up to the shop, you show up to the job site. So I've never been on a construction job site in my life. I have no idea how the union works. I know nothing about nothing. Like I said, I'm 18 years old. It's 2006-07, and I'm driving into this job site. I drive to Irvine, California. I have no idea what I'm gonna do. I'm 45 minutes from home, and I walk up to this building, and this building's 21 stories tall. I think it was 3151 East Michelson, something like that, something of the sort. It's huge, huge building. I've never been on a construction site, never mind a building of this magnitude, right? So I go up to the building, and I remember I'm walking around, and I'm just like, fuck, I don't know what to do. I don't have a hard hat. I don't have safety. There's not signs. This is 2006. A lot has changed since then, right? we're talking 16 years ago. A lot has changed. So I'm walking around, there's no signs, there's no nothing, there's not shit, right? There's a dirt road, there's a building, a shell of a building. And so I walk up and I'm looking for this gentleman, and I'm walking around and I run into this guy, and I'll never forget him. His name is Mason Guar. He always used to pop off with that. He's an interesting fellow. But so I run into him, and I find out years later he made some comments on the radio about looking like a lost little puppy. But I run into him. He directs me where to go. I go in there, and you know, I start my day. I'm shell-shocked. I'm completely out of my element. I've never done anything of the sort of this before. I have no idea what from what, right? So I show up, and it's, you know, do this, do that. All right, start unloading this truck with these guys. So I go meet my friend, who's still a good friend of mine now. He'll go by G. We go meet G, and I start unloading the truck with him. I have no idea what the fuck to do. And when I mean I have no idea even what do I do with the stuff off the truck? Where do I take it? What do I do? So we're on this job site. I'm a material handler, and we start rolling, right? So that was my first day. It was fucked up. Met a lot of good people on that job site. Worked with a lot of them for a long time. So G, me and G are still really good friends. I talk to him all the time. He's doing really well. He's actually at the same company still. So I spent about a year there, about 8 months there as a material handler. Got into the apprenticeship. Me and G both got in about 6 months apart. Got into the apprenticeship on that job. Went to the project right next door. Was prepping the property for an additional 2 high rises, and you know, the collapse of the economy hits. And I don't know how many of you were my age or were there during the collapse of the economy, but it was wild. Now I know a lot of the older people, if any older people listen to this podcast, you were there, you understood it, you know what happened. But a lot of kids who were my age, you know, 18, 19, they didn't really know much about it. You know, they were in school or just working, right? I was there firsthand, like watching, you know, we went from having years of work lined up to like, we didn't know where we were going to go next. And there was a lot of people that I worked with that, you know, I didn't have a house. I didn't have shit. I lived at home. I was renting a room for like $500 a month. I was chilling. I had a car payment and that and the house. Now, granted, I was only making, when I started there, I was only making $10 an hour. And when I became a first year, I was only making like $13 an hour, right? So I wasn't rich by any means. I was maybe making at $13 an hour, I think I was clearing close to $400 a week, right? So if I had a house renting a room at $500, plus I had a $350 car payment, I mean, that was 2.5 weeks of work as it is. So I had a week and a half left for all my other bills, for cell phone credit, anything else. It was tough. But then to watch the economy collapse and to see that we couldn't find any work. And so we, you know, those first couple of years, they got tight in the apprenticeship. I got in. I was there. I was still on that job site for, I think I spent around a year and a half there, because like I said, we went next door. We did a ton of underground. I met some good people over there. We ran a ton of underground. And then from there, you know, the adventure starts, where I ventured into going into LA and doing things like that. But walking up to this job, you know, it can be intimidating. And for anybody who's thinking about joining the trades or whatnot, don't let the intimidation factor push you away. When I was that age and I jumped in there and I did that, I was scared shitless, man. Like, the truth is, like, I was scared. I was way out of my element. I didn't grow up with any males teaching me this shit, you know. I was just a punk kid who fucking, you know, just fucked around and ended up doing electrical. And I actually chose to do electrical. There's a ton of other things I could have done. I enjoy it. But don't let it throw you off. Don't let it scare you or drive you away. I mean, it's intimidating. It really is. You join these trades and you have, well, especially before, you used to have, you know, a lot of boomers who are like battle hardened fucking grown men who just it was rough, you know. Nowadays it's a little different. They like to teach their people different, you know, they're gentler, I guess you'd say. But even then, you still gotta have some pretty thick skin. Now granted, nobody should be harassed, nobody should have to deal with some bullshit And as we go into the stories, we'll go further with that. But it's just, if you're joining the trade and you're new to the trade or any trade, it doesn't have to just be Sparky. You might be listening to this and you might be becoming a carpenter. And if that is what you're doing, I suggest you become a Sparky. that's just where I stand. But if you are gonna join the trades and you're gonna go out there, don't get thrown off by, you know, what people say or how people act. There's a lot of assholes out there in and out of the trades, right? There's a lot of people who are just, they're just pricks, and shit's going on at home. And, you know, the best thing I ever had one of my GFs teach me when I was a young foreman was to reach out to the apprentice that's having a hard time or the journeyman that's having a hard time and talk to them, right? Because you never know. These guys could be going through shit. Everyone has something else going on at home. The work isn't everything, right? Work isn't your whole life. So when somebody's having a bad time or you see something and it just seems off, or the guy seems like a prick, or he's being an asshole to you, there's a lot of other shit going on. So as a first year apprentice, yeah, obviously you're not going to sit there and ask him, hey man, what's going on? You want to talk about your feelings? Nah, fuck, whatever. Just know that the guy's being a prick, he's being a prick, you know? You don't have to take a lot of shit, but also you got to take some shit as a first year apprentice. And there's a lot of guys out there who have a hard time doing it, and they don't make it through the apprenticeship because every little bit of shit they take personal. And when they take it personal, they don't make it. And they get their feelings wrapped up. And I'm not saying be a punching bag, because I've definitely been there. What I'm saying is just don't take it personal. Guys are having a fucking shit day. And when you're 18, 19, and you're joining the trade, and you're living at home with mom and dad, if that's the case, or this or that, it's a lot different if you're not getting any work than the 40-year-old guy with two kids who's trying to, you know, get gear up for high school or college or whatnot, you know? So it is a different world. So I would make sure to keep that in mind. But also, you know, think about it. You're joining a trade with grown. Everyone's grown, including yourself, but you're not grown like they're grown, right? But don't let it discourage you. That's the main point of all that. Don't let it discourage you, push you away. Don't let the pay discourage you either. There's a lot of other jobs that you might join, and it might be like, oh, well, why would I do that when I can go flip burgers at Burger King or at wherever, and I can make $14, $15, $16 an hour. So why would I join the electrical and be an electrician at $16 an hour, $17 an hour, right? Well, there's a future. That's the big thing, right? Is your future. When I joined this, I didn't have kids. I didn't have shit. I wasn't married at nothing. And all I could think about was the reason I joined was because I wanted my future kids, future family, to have benefits, to have a future in general, right? To have good wages, to not have to worry about it. Now, granted, the union's not perfect. So anybody out there who's listening, if you're non-union or whatnot, I'm not saying the union's perfect, and I'm not going to preach like that about it. We have our flaws. There's a lot of flaws. But I will say that the trades in general provide good, solid wages. And the union usually is above that, right? On the top of that. So in that aspect, I think the union is better. But when you're joining at 18 and you're going, well, I could just go work at Joe Schmo's, or, you know, right now a lot of places are hurting, so they're hiring people upwards of $20 an hour. But what's your future like there, right? What's your future like getting hired at a coffee shop at $16 an hour? Yeah, labor's not hard, but what's your future like there compared to getting hired at into the union at $18 an hour, but they top out at 55, right? What's the barista top out at? And I'm not looking down on anybody. Nobody take that the wrong way. I'm not looking down on a barista. I'm not looking down on anybody who makes money. It's not all about that. But if you're going to pick a career because of money, well, money right now or money 6 months from now is a big difference, right? So you're going to pick one job because it's easier now, but in 6 months, you could be in this trade and you could be making more money already. So it might be a little more physically demanding, which it's going to be. You're going to be, you know, for lack of a better word, you're the gopher. You go and for everything, right? You're going to be chasing down parts and pieces and everything. So don't get discouraged by that. I would choose the construction route, but it's not for everybody. It really isn't. Now, on another aspect of that, if you're coming into the trades and you feel like construction really isn't your drive, right? You know, you don't feel that you can you don't feel like that's what you want to do with your life. You know, you'd rather go to school and do something different and get an education and whatnot. Well, what I do know is this, is that there's a lot of opportunity within our trade, right? A lot of people join the trades, a lot of people join the electrical trades, and maybe not all of them know all the opportunity, or maybe kids out there don't know all the opportunity. Not even kids, maybe you're looking at the trades and you don't know all the opportunities. Maybe you don't want to carry a shovel for your whole life. Well, in the electrical trades, for one, I know for a fact that there is just so much you can branch off into. Number one, you can go off and you can do your own, you could do like not your own thing, that's a lot more work, but you can go off after you start in the trades, you could go into controls, right? It's a little bit easier, you're using your mental more than your muscle, right? You can do that. Also, as you get through it, as you get your journeyman card allows you to work, you know, pretty much anywhere, go get a job and people know what to expect from you. But you can also use that on your resume, right? It's 5 years of experience in the field. So also, without having to pay for education, you got paid to get this experience. And then now you have this card that's on your resume. You can go out and you can get these jobs. We got BIM coordinators, you got supervision, you got field supervision, you got PMs, you got I've known people to make the jump and go work for general contractors, and they're working for MEP coordinators as general contractors. And you know, one doesn't necessarily have to mean the other, but it definitely is a good stepping stone if that's what you want to do, right? When I got in, I got in and I knew I wanted to run work and I wanted to run the big jobs and I wanted to do the biggest jobs out there. That's just what I wanted to do. Currently, I'm a general foreman after being in the trade for 16 years. I've been running work for, shit, probably close to 10 years now, 10 to 11. I've been running work since 2011. I've been running work, so 11 or 12 years now. So it's been a long time I've been running work. I was a foreman for a while, now I'm a general foreman. And I'm not done. That's not where I'm stopping, but it is going in the direction I wanted to go. I knew that I didn't want to wear my bags on my hips, because that's what it's called. I didn't want to strap up the tool belt, you know, well into my 50s and 60s like I've seen some guys doing, right? And that's plain and simple. There's some guys who are going to do that. And maybe you're a guy who wants to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I knew I didn't want to. I knew I wanted to run work. I wanted to communicate with others. I wanted to plan, coordinate, and build jobs, right? That's what I wanted to do. I pretty much knew that from the get-go. So when you think about that, I took 6 years of experience in my apprenticeship because I was a material handler at the beginning, so there was like a burnt year in there. So 6 years through that. At the end of that, about 4 months into my journeyman, I was already running my own gig, kind of doing my own thing with underground, but about 6 months in the journeyman, I got officially as a foreman and I started running work. And so I took what I learned in those 5 or 6 years and I started running with it. And I love it, right? But there's multiple facades of what we do. You know, you can become a BIM guy, you can become a project manager, there's lighting, there's what are they called, like startup techs for lighting, because lighting now is so important with the energy saving in places like California, Oregon, and Washington. There's a lot of different jobs. You know, you can go into the high voltage side. I know guys who've jumped over and they've moved on the high voltage companies with their journeyman card, and they travel and they make a bunch of money and they love it. You can jump at the line school if you can get into that. You can go jump over and become one of them and then make a shit ton of money chasing the storms, right? There's a lot. It all depends what you want to do. You can go work for utility companies, you can go work for the state. There's pretty much, it's limitless, you know. So if you don't feel like you want to pick up a shovel your whole career, there's definitely a lot of places you can go. Maintenance electricians are everywhere, the school districts, all that, and they're not picking up a shovel every day. They have carts, they have their tool bags on them, so they don't have to worry about that shit. But yeah, that's how I got into the trade. So I got into the trade 18 years old, first job, I'm out there, I know nothing from nothing. 16 years later, I'm sitting here in my basement recording a podcast talking about my experience in the trade. So this is Don't Let the Smoke Out. I hope you join us for our other episodes. I'm going to try to release weekly, but again, I run a big project and I have two kids and I work a lot. I will say this though, to anybody who's thinking about it and you're listening to this podcast for the first time and you're not in the trades but you're thinking about the trades, I say do it. Even if you're not going to stay in it, do it. Learn it. It builds good character. I know it sounds cliche, but it builds some good character. You get some, make some good money, and you learn some good knowledge, to be honest. Because when shit hits the fan, you know, there's nothing better to know than some things to do with your hands, right? I know that during that whole recession and everything, I stayed busy. I was busy the whole time. I've only had two involuntarily months off in my 16-year career. So that's another thing a lot of people like to talk about, is that union only works 6 months a year. I've only had 2 months off in 16 years, involuntarily. The other months that I've had off, I took them off myself. I think the longest I ever had was 3 months off, and that's when I moved. I decided I wanted to take some time off for myself. So don't be discouraged by that. Don't be discouraged by people in the trades. Don't be scared by assholes. There's a lot of them out there. And as we get further in this podcast, you'll hear some stories about some assholes that I've had run-ins with. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of assholes out there. So, recap. Stay tuned. We're going to have episodes weekly. Don't let the smoke out. We're going to talk about more than just stories of the project. We'll talk about things that we do. We'll even, at some point, hopefully, we'll open it up where we get messages or emails or something. We'll talk about it with, we'll talk about other people's experiences or stories or questions even. You got questions. I know a guy, every test I've taken, I've passed with as far as licensing. I know guys that haven't. I know guys who struggle with it, and it's fine to struggle with it. Not everybody learns the same way, and that's the kind of the messed up thing about our education system as well as our test taking system, right? Just because you can't take a test doesn't mean you don't know how to do the work, right? And I think there's a lot of people that get stuck in that loop. So stick around. Don't get discouraged. Join the trades. Be an electrician. We need more of you. So thanks, everybody. I'll catch you on the next one.